see everyone this evening. Again, in addition to the announcements that we had this morning about gospel meetings that are in the area, Erica told me that Peters Creek is having a meeting this week as well, and we have the meeting announcement up for that. Connie Adams is doing the preaching in that. Most of us know him. So you can go to a gospel meeting every night this week if you want to. And I probably will be. Like I said before, if you'd like to go with us, or just let us know. We'd be glad to try to accommodate that. I want to direct your attention to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. I'm not going to take the time to give us all the history of this, but Samuel, you'll remember, was the last judge in the period of the judges of Israel. He was also the first in a line of oral prophets. One of the deliverances that he was part of, you'll remember that there was a battle, and the Ark of the Covenant was taken by the enemy, and it was taken. They took it and put it in their temple to Dagon, I believe it was, and God didn't like that very well, and that didn't work out too well for Dagon. Dagon kept falling on his face, and nobody knew why, but they finally figured out it must be because the Ark of the Covenant's in there, and we need to get that out of here. So they took it out of there, and they took it to this guy's house that we're going to be looking at here. You'll remember the story as we go along. So the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the Ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill, and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to keep the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. So it was that the Ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And you know, as you're reading this, you're thinking, so why don't you just go up there and get it if you don't like the fact that it's there. But it's there 20 years. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. This is the problem of the children of Israel, it seems like, from the time they enter into their promised land, that they wanted to be identified as God's chosen people and the people of God, and they wanted to serve Jehovah, and so on and so forth, but they thought they could also serve the idolatrous gods of the land, which, for the most part, involved fornication. So you see the motivation for doing so. They thought they could have it both ways. And so that's why you have serve the Lord only. Serve him only. You can't serve God and serve yourself. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherahs. The Baal was the male representation of the same fornication, and the Asheroth is the female representation, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and drove them back as far as Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also, there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. You dedicate yourself completely to the Lord, things go well. That's what happened here. But I want to, in particular, call your attention to verse 12. And Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." Probably looks something like this. There are different monument stones in that part of the country, ancient as they are. This is in that area. So they took a stone, set it up. This is not a natural formation. Obviously, man has placed this here. There's a design, at least to its placement and so forth. It's not a natural formation, as I said, thus far. So you could look here and it would be a memorial. They would be reminded that God fought for us and fought with us, that God is with us when we are with Him. This is a memorial of all of this recovery of the Ark of the Covenant and the defeat of their enemy, the Philistines, and the restoration of their land. We sing a song that has the phrase in it, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." What does that mean? I don't know what an Ebenezer is, let alone being able to raise it. Well, it's a monument. It's a memorial. I'm remembering that God saved me, and He's brought me thus far. Let's see some applications of that point. We raise our Ebenezer when we have faith in God in the face of seemingly impossible tasks. We have difficulties on a job, perhaps, difficulties in a marriage, government decisions not made in accordance to righteousness. When you start legalizing things that are immoral, these things are troubling to us. Taking the gospel to the whole world. How do we make it through these things that we're concerned about? Things that we know that here's a responsibility that we're to carry through with. How do we conduct ourselves? What keeps us going? We raise our Ebenezer. And we remember that God is with us. There's nothing that we can't do if we have faith in God. Philippians 4 and verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know how to do without, and I know how to do with plenty, and I know how to be in each state and to conduct myself in a way that will glorify God." Christ teaches me to do that. Teaches me how to do that. Psalm 12 and the first 8 verses. The psalmist says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help?" Where's my help going to come from? I'm looking to the hills. I don't see anybody coming. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's better than anybody that could be coming down from the hills, isn't it? If God made the heavens and the earth and maintains all of them by the very power of His Word, He can certainly help us in our times of need. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Can you think of anyone better to preserve you? How does he preserve us? What we talked about this morning. By his word, by his instruction, by our loyalty and our faithfulness and his faithfulness to us. We don't just feel that we are God's people. We know that we are his people based on his promises and the conditions of fellowship with him. We raise our Ebenezer when we acknowledge God as the source of our help. That's really what that stone monument was. It was an acknowledgement to Israel and to all round about that Jehovah God helped the people of God, helped Israel, helped the Jews regain the Ark of the Covenant, regain their cities, and regain their territory. This is a monument to that occasion. And so also, we are to acknowledge God as our source of help. Psalm 40 and verse 13 says, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." I didn't get myself out of this. It wasn't by my own wit, my own finances, and my connections with people. The Lord delivered me. The Lord has brought me thus far. Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. It's not that I'm so smart. It's not that I know so much. It's not that I outsmarted everyone and got out of trouble. The Lord is my refuge. The Lord is my strength. Do you talk that way? The Lord helps me in my times of difficulty. I look to him for comfort and for refuge, for deliverance. Psalm 60 and verse 11 reads, "Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless." Not totally useless. The help of man might help temporarily, help occasionally, help when they feel like helping. But God always helps those who are faithful. Psalm 79 and verse 9. "Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of your name, and deliver us and provide atonement for our sins, for your name's sake." Did you notice the last two phrases, the last phrase of each of those sentiments? "For the glory of your name, for your name's sake, help me." Why? Because I need help. No. Help me for your name's sake. And I wear your name's sake. I wear the name of Christ. And this is a pitiful condition for someone who wears the name of the Son of God to be in. Help me. Help me to bear this. Help me to do so with dignity. Help me to do so righteously. Not so that people will say, "Well, he's our hometown hero this week." No, but because you want to give God the glory. You want to raise God as your Ebenezer. He's why you live the way that you do. He's why you have the dreams and the goals that you do. He's why you do what you do. For his name's sake. For his glory. James 1 and verse 17 clearly says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good thing in your life, God's placed it there. Either generally or providentially, specifically for you. God's placed it there. Do you give Him the glory? Do you raise Him as your Ebenezer? Say, look, here's where I am, and this is what I have, and this is what I'm able to do, because God loves me and cares about me. Because I love Him and care about Him. I care about living for Him, living a righteous life. And He has certainly blessed me. We raise our Ebenezer when we remember God's help in our salvation. The Lord's Supper is a type of an Ebenezer, isn't it? Every first day of the week, we raise the Ebenezer, the memorial, if you will, of Christ's sacrifice to pay the price for our sins. 1 Corinthians 11 and verses 24 and 25 recall, in essence, the words of Luke 22 and verses 19 and 20, the words of our Savior. But Paul here says that when the Lord had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. And so when we do this in remembrance of Christ, we are raising the memorial, the Ebenezer, if you will, of what Christ did for us. That He's brought us this far, and He's going to take us the rest of the way. How do you know? He gave us this memorial to make that declaration until He comes. Without God's sacrifice in Christ, we would be without help. Only a sinless man could pay the price for sin. And Christ was that one. Romans 5 and verse 8 reads, "God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Not because we were righteous, not because we promised to be righteous, not because we promised to repent, not because we were sorry, even sorry for our sin. While we were still sinners, rebelling against God, Christ died for us. God doesn't know what you're going to do with the salvation that's in His Son, Jesus Christ. He doesn't know how you're going to respond. He hopes that you'll accept the price that was paid for your sin in the blood of His Son. And when we do, we are to raise Him as our Ebenezer. We are to point to Him from that day forward as our reason for living. We live not just physically, but we live spiritually because He died, paid the price for our sins, and rose from the dead. 1 Peter 1 and verses 18 and 19 says, "You were redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Why were all of those sacrifices offered under the patriarchal and Mosaic law? Why were they offered? Because they were offered as a type in the shadow of the blood of Christ that was going to be shed for the sins of mankind. You are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, "He made Him, God made His Son who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that amazing? That he who is nothing but righteous paid the price for our unrighteousness, that we might be made righteous in him. It's amazing. The greatest expression of love your neighbor. The greatest expression of anyone that says, I want to be your friend. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. You ever get a friend request on Facebook? If you're on Facebook, you've got friend requests. Jesus made a friend request. I want to be your friend. Can you imagine? Open up your Facebook one morning and Jesus wants to be your friend. Well, yeah, confirm that right now. Will you confirm that? It's a condition attached to it. All you have to do is love me and keep my commandments. Well, yeah, I'll do that. Confirm, 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 confirm. Access to Almighty God. Access to He who is love. Access to grace and faith and mercy. Confirm, confirm, confirm. Give me a bigger button. Yes, I will. Friend. Raise your Ebenezer. Raise Christ as your friend that you live with and walk with and live for. Without the gospel, we would be left without the power to be saved and the revelation of righteousness. Without the message, without the good news that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God who died for our sins. Without this revelation of the great mystery, how is it that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God and separated from God, but God loved us enough to die for us and to reconcile us to Him, to redeem us. How is that possible? It just blows our mind. But it's there. Over and over and over again. The message is there and it's confirmed in types and antitypes and in shadows and fulfillment in the very image of these things. God says, I love you. That's why. I want you to be where I am. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17, we're familiar with this passage. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek, for everyone. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. From faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Who's it for? It's for everyone who believes. And those who live by faith raise their Ebenezer. Why do you live by faith? Why do you hear what God says and do what God says? That's what faith is. Why do you do that? Because you want people to see, God has brought me this far. And God is going to take me all the way. By what He brought me, He is going to take me. How did He bring me? By the Word of God. By the Word of God made flesh. By the Word of God revealed in Scripture, He brought me this far. And He will take me all the way to be with Him forever and ever and ever. Raise your Ebenezer. Live for Jesus. Let people know that your reason for living is to live to His glory. Let them know what He's done for you and what He can do for them. We have nothing to be afraid of. Are you ready to walk with Him, to live with Him, to raise Him in your life, to point to Him and to say, there's the reason I'm alive. There's the reason I'm living. There's the reason I want you to have what I have. O thou fount of every blessing, He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Will you accept them? Will you accept the salvation that's in Christ? If you're here tonight and you're out of favor with God, will you return to Him? Just like those in the days of Samuel. Maybe you've been trying to have it both ways. I want to be recognized as a Christian, but I also want to gratify some passions and desires that I have over here. And God, He'll overlook those things. No. No, He won't. He wants us to serve Him only. If you're ready to rededicate yourself to that, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.